All right. Thank you. We have, I'm going to go into the question and answer portion. We have a couple minutes here, so I'll try to go through the questions quickly. The first question I see here is for Mark. And Mark, can you please explain or add more information on what the Clean Cities is trying to achieve with the National Clean Fleets Partnership? One thing that keeps confusing me is how the DOE conceives the NCFP as different from the older EPA Smartway Transport Partnership.
Okay, sure, happy to. Because I get that question sometimes, and I apologize. I feel like I didn't do my job well enough in my presentation. So, in essence, the national partners is Clean Cities for these national fleets. We're not trying to compete with EPA Smartway program. Again, our metric isn't emissions. Our metric in the 20-year history of Clean Cities is petroleum reduction. But as I started to allude to a little bit, and I kind of sped up because I was concerned about running out of time, as we have seen over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, more of the national fleets come into the alt-fuel world, if you will, and not that many of them haven't been there for a long time. If we're going to talk about shelf life, you know, the first Clean Cities Coalition was Atlanta in 1993, and one of the first stakeholders, sorry, Kashav, was UPS. But a lot of these fleets that we work with are fleets we've worked with for a long time, but we really felt the need about 4 or 5 years ago as we saw the Verizons and AT&Ts and a lot of other fleets who were very new to alternative fuels, and as we would talk to them about Clean Cities, again, they would be very excited about what we had to offer in terms of tools and resources and funding opportunities and wanted to be part of that. But the issue for them was, well, how do we work with you? You know, and it's an issue we face with some of our coordinators, too, who don't understand, hey, just because in my city I drive by a facility and I see Frito-Lay trucks or FedEx trucks or AT&T trucks there, there may be a fleet manager in there, but that fleet manager isn't responsible for purchasing decisions. He's not responsible for what type of fuel the vehicles run on, when vehicles are replaced. That's done at corporate. And so that's really what we're trying to do with the National Clean Fleets Partnership is really coordinate and kind of streamline and manage that relationship for these national corporations to really help them as they begin to deploy vehicles. So if Kashav suddenly is deciding that, hey, we're going to do EVs in Indianapolis, then we can get him in touch. As I mentioned, the role our coordinators play as those local experts, and we can get Kashav and his people in touch with Kelly Walsh, our coordinator in Indianapolis, and then she can help make those connections and provide them with that local intelligence they need to move ahead and get projects going. So again, that's really kind of at the end of the day what National Clean Fleets Partnership is. It's really a more coordinated approach for these large national fleets to work with Clean Cities and hopefully make it easier, you know, not only for them to work with us, but from us to work with them. And again, to really understand, you know, what they're doing with their petroleum reduction plans and being able to help tailor a program that's going to help them meet their goals.
Thank you. I see that we're about out of time, but I'm going to ask one more question, then we'll follow up with the remaining questions to the presenters afterwards. But for last question is again for Mark, and you mentioned the Clean Cities technical and problem-solving assistance for fleets. Could you speak to what kinds of fuel efficiency technology safety failures have been observed by the Clean Cities?
Safety failures, interesting. Okay. Two-part answer to that question, I guess, is so really what we're trying to look for first and foremost is technical problems. So oftentimes we might find, I'll give you a good example, we'll use natural gas as an example. You might have a fleet that's using a natural gas vehicle and suddenly they have some problems with the performance of that vehicle and they get it checked out by the manufacturer of the vehicle, and the manufacturer says, well, it's not the engine, it's the fuel, it's the natural gas. And so then the fleet manager goes to the guy who has the natural gas fueling station, and he says, well, hey, it's not my station, it's the quality of gas I'm getting from the gas utility. So then the fleet manager goes to the gas utility and says, well, you're giving them bad gas, and that's certain in my vehicle, and pretty soon you've got everybody standing around putting the fingers at each other. So what we try to do with the technical response team a lot of times, and some of these industry experts, I mean, is to bring in some of these people who don't have a dog in that fight to help really, unmask what the true issue or problem is. Safety is always first and foremost with what we do, and I know it's true of everybody in the industry. So a couple couple of the things that we're looking at and we've tried to help fund in the past. One is first responder training, because if there's an accident involving an alternative fuel vehicle or a hybrid or electric vehicle, how those first responders come upon that accident and how they react to it and respond to it is critical. If you have a Nissan Leaf and you're driving home tonight and God forbid you're in an accident and you're trapped in your vehicle, you don't want the local fire guy showing up and suddenly taking the jaws of life and just indiscriminately cutting because he or you or other people could get seriously injured or worse if they don't know how they're addressing that. So we funded through the past couple of cycles of grants, a lot of stuff to do about first responder training. One of the other issues that we're tracking, in fact, since our hosts are DOT, we've been working with the folks at NHTSA and also with some of the other industry folks from the natural gas vehicle industry, is that of the cylinders on natural gas vehicles. Most of those cylinders on natural gas vehicles have a 20-year life to them. And believe it or not, we're at the point where a lot of vehicles that were deployed 20 years ago are coming up on that 20-year life. And one of the challenges has been how do you, in often case, find those vehicles? Because sometimes if those were done as aftermarket conversions, the identity of that vehicle as being a natural gas vehicle isn't reflected in the VIN number. So we're trying to work with, not only the folks at DOT, but a lot of the other industry people to say, okay, how do we first of all try to find where these vehicles are at so we can alert the owners that those tanks have reached the end of their useful life. But then how do we move ahead to make sure whether we're talking about natural gas vehicles or hydrogen vehicles, anything that's going to have high pressure gas on it, that those vehicles and specifically those tanks are able to be tracked into the future so that we can address some of those safety concerns. So that's, you know, a quick answer, obviously, but just a couple examples.
Okay, thank you again, Mark. I see that we're going a couple minutes over, so I'll go ahead and wrap up now. Kevin, thanks for typing some of those questions into the chat box, and I know, Keshav, there are a couple questions for you, which I'll have sent over email, and we'll respond with the answers out over email to all attendees. But again, I want to thank you all for attending today's seminar. The recorded version of today's event will be available within the next few weeks on the Talking Freight website. And as a reminder, if you are an AICP member and would like to receive 1.5 certification maintenance credits for attending the seminar, please make sure you are signed in today with your first and last name, or type your first and last name into the chat box if you are attending with a group of people. Please download the evaluation form and email it to me after you've completed it. And please also download the CM credit instructions if you are unsure on how to obtain credits for today's seminar. The next Talking Freight seminar has not been scheduled, but will be announced to all attendees in today's session when it has. And finally, I encourage you all to join the Freight Planning Listserv if you've not already done so. That's how a lot of information on these Talking Freight seminars is transmitted. And with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up today's seminar. So again, I thank you all for sticking here for a couple minutes over, and enjoy the rest of your day.